live from the WGY studios every Sunday.
This is the Paul Potrat Show.
Stop spraying and praying. You're wasting money.
Millennials aren't lazy. It's how you lead them.
When you sell by price, you die by price.
The Paul Potrat Show, helping your business grow and stay relevant.
Covering the latest technology for business, leadership trends, and changing your mindset on marketing.
Now, your hosts, Paul Potratz, the business architect, and Samantha Zewalinski, the millennial entrepreneur.
Happy Sunday, Paul.
Happy Sunday, Samantha.
This is my favorite day of the week because we get to hang out together again.
What do you mean? We hang out every day except Saturday.
Well, we need to change that. To hang out again. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking about, before we get into today's topics, you've had a ton of consulting calls because I feel like I've only seen you on the phone the whole entire week.
Yep. But that's okay. I enjoy that.
So it's the fun part, right?
It is the fun part. You know, it's like working with clients saying, these are the things that I would, you know, advise that you should do.
Ooh, so let's elaborate on that. And that's what I was wondering. What have you been talking to everybody about? What are their questions? What are their pain points?
Everybody wants to be faster, it seems. I mean, that's been the big thing, that they want to be faster. Does that make sense what I'm saying, that they want to be faster?
Define faster.
Well, they don't want to drive down the road faster. They don't want to run fast. Well, actually, they do kind of want to run mentally, that they
like
want.
Like full speed ahead.
Yeah, we want to be faster.
All engines on high.
So a number of different things that we've talked about, you know, how do we do this? You know, for example, time management. How do I become a better time management? How do I, you know, become a better influencer? How do I get more Instagram followers? How do I know if my advertising budget is working? How do I know if I'm spending money in the right place? You know, so how do I get my salespeople to do this, or how do I get my employees to do that? But it's been all about people wanting to get things done quicker. Like, I'll make a recommendation there, and the response has been, how long before I see some results?
So it's really back to that whole thing that nobody has any patience anymore, right?
No, no patience at all. I mean, no one has any patience anymore. I mean, it's crazy. But I also understand it, and I think it's just society has caused this, because we get everything instantly. We don't wait for our pizza 30 minutes anymore. We don't have to go to the store and buy music, you know, buy a CD or a record.
It's so funny you use the CD analogy, because I saw a bunch in my center console and started putting them in my car.
You have CDs in your car?
I do.
Okay.
Maybe I'm moving a little slower than everybody else. But for patience, I mean, it's like slow and steady wins the race, but nobody actually embraces that in business, it seems like.
Well, and I think what happens, so what why that is, and what we see is because now we are so connected to individuals, and we see wealth and we see success, but we, you know, that it's right there in front of our face, mm-hmm. and we didn't see what that person had to go through, and how hard they had to work, and how many years it took to be able to get there. So we've become into the mindset, because we get instant gratification and everything, that how long is it going to take? That, okay, you know, like one of the clients I was talking to, and they're like, okay, I'm going to be on Instagram now, but how long before I start selling off Instagram? I'm like, well, you only have 10 followers. It's going to take a little while.
Yeah. It's like, just because somebody popped up on your radar yesterday doesn't mean they started yesterday. It just means they maybe finally hit that stride they needed to get to that next level, but it may have taken them years to get there.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think about that, this is a big stress factor. I mean, and I know that I go through it too, that we want that instant gratification in whatever we do. I mean, regardless if whether it's business or personal life or whatever it is, it's like, you know, I'm ready to lose weight. How come I haven't lost weight? I just started the diet. You mm-hmm. know, well, I shouldn't say I just started, but I've been on the diet for a mm-hmm. while. I started last night. So. But it's just, and I think that's what it is, but it creates a lot of stress. It creates a lot of stress for a business owner, a manager, an individual, you know, whether you're looking for a job, you're wanting to know, mm-hmm. why haven't I found a job yet? Well, I don't know. You only sent out 2 resumes and that was 3 days ago. So, mm-hmm. Patience. I mean, that's been the big thing, that we want instant gratification. And there's a lot of problems that come with that. I mean, there's a lot of, not only stress, but stress on you as an individual, stress on your family, mm-hmm. Stress financially, because with patience comes what? Guess what I'm going to say?
Comes cost.
Comes cost, but comes change.
Comes change.
But it's not warranted change, that it's like, you know, I'm going to change it. For example, one of the clients, that they've had this logo, that mm-hmm. Somebody created this logo for them, really nice logo. And they've been using it for 6 months, and they're wanting to change their logo now. And I'm like, why? Yeah, exactly. Why? What do you think? Well, I don't think the logo really represents our brand. And I'm like, okay, what all have you done with this logo? And I mean, of course, done everything. I mean, signage, brochures, mm-hmm. I mean, everything.
So it's website. Expensive too.
It's going to be expensive, but your logo is not going to drive sales. But of course, I didn't say it that way. So kind of did.
You're a little blunt more here on the radio.
Yeah, really. But, you know, how is it going to, what's the real benefit to it? How much time are you going to spend making sure it gets all changed mm-hmm. instead of taking your eye off of, you know, you're taking your eye off of the ball, taking your eye off the things that you need to be doing mm-hmm. and should be doing. It's just a distraction. And I think that's what happens with a lack of patience. Then you have a lot of distractions.
Because you let a lot of different things pull you in different directions because you're not having patience in what the overall goal is. So you let all those little things eat at you.
Right. And probably what it is you're trying to get away from the big thing.
Covering
that you need
something
to handle.
Else up.
Yeah. That you're just saying, yeah, I'm going to do all these little things before I do that big thing. And it's probably the big thing that's probably not that big.
It's like
but
I always,
it seems big to you and yeah. you don't do it.
So. I always say to the team, do your hardest thing first and then everything else is easy. And it's kind of like that, right? So you're not doing that biggest thing first because it's probably the hardest too.
Yeah. And you'll think it'll go away. And it doesn't go away. It just snowballs.
Yeah. And that's really interesting that they, I feel like we deal with that a lot. People want to change things before they even give them any time. So it's having patience in that momentum that it can build and the change that it has. But with that, when you think about it, the age of that logo or that business plan or that initiative, I think like social media, you mentioned Instagram, how long till I get sales off of Instagram? Well, you have to put some time into it.
Yeah.
And so if you think about the amount of time you spent in your business, potentially, let's say that business existed prior to Instagram. Well, in the span of the age of their business, they're younger than they are older.
Right.
In the sense of like, if you look at it from the span of how much time you can invest and how long you're going to be working on that business, you have to have patience because you're in the infancy. So many times we think that, you know, we're maybe teenagers or adults in our business life, but in reality, we're just at the beginning of it.
Right. And, you know, and it's just, it's hard because we've seen these overnight successes and overnight successes is a rarity. That doesn't normally happen.
And you know, maybe you got your 10 minutes of fame on TV or a platform that really highlighted you. But most of the time, I truly believe, and I think there's tons of situations that show you, there's not a lot of overnight successes. It's just overnight success to you because your exposure was limited to them prior to their, you know, 100,000 Instagram followers or whatever it may be.
Right. And overnight success comes, there's a big loss with an overnight success. So I'm going to give you an example, okay? Oh boy, this is going to be hard. Since we're kind of in the different, you know, millennial and
not millennial
gray beard here. when I give me a child actor, give me an actor that you grew up with that you used to watch on TV occasionally that was popular back in the day when you were a little one.
I don't know. I could give you one that I think you would know, okay. Not even from your era. I used to love Shirley Temple videos.
All right. Not a good example. The vast majority of people would be like, yeah, I remember those black and whites. That's way before
I used to get them in my Easter basket. Like, that's how much I loved her.
Okay. Well, anyway, if I say the name, oh, my God.
Who are you thinking of? I'll tell you if I know them.
Scott Baio.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
No way.
Yeah.
Tiger Beat.
Yeah. They still had that when I was young. I mean, maybe not as popular.
So Scott Baio, wasn't he also on The Fonz or whatever, too?
He was in a couple things, and then he made a reappearance on, I think, like VH1 when he was older, you know, probably some of those reality TV shows.
So he had overnight success, mm-hmm. and then it just went away. And I mean, when you think about that, that's actors, that's music, that's everything, that's business. And so what are you going to do to be able to achieve that over and over and over? And chances are it's not possible.
The longevity to it is not there.
That's my point. And so then what happens, you realize, okay, I've got to change what I'm doing. I'm changing. But then you don't have the patience to keep after it. And, you know, and I honestly believe in business and in personal life, it's just like nature, just like seasons, that you have a summer, a winter, a mm-hmm. fall, and a spring. And we go through these seasons as individuals, you know, that we feel summery and then we feel a little, you know, fall. Mm-hmm. So, and business does the same thing. So, but with patience, that if you're that type of individual that's always lacking patience and always changing, you will not propel as quick as someone that, you know, stays the course. And I'm not saying to be stagnant, but you know,
well, I think there's a difference between consistently changing what you're doing and focusing on versus like creating new content or changing up, you know, the type of information you're providing, in the sense of like maybe you adapt to be more video focused and still have that audio element. But there's building on your business and then there's changing your business. And those are two very different things.
Right. I mean, there's a number of, you know, I actually did something this morning as I looked at a newspaper.
You did?
Yeah, it was weird.
I wouldn't have bet you ever picked up a newspaper in the last 5 years.
Well, it was kind of an interesting picture on the front. So I picked it up and I looked through it and I'm thinking, you know, what are these advertisers in here doing? Mm-hmm. I'm not ditching on the newspaper. I'm not. Don't take it that way. Don't get offended. I mean, if you're still advertising, that's a whole other story. But, you know, my point is, I mean, how are those businesses doing? Are they just advertising in the newspaper just to be there and kind of support the newspaper because they're making a tremendous amount of money and it doesn't really matter, mm-hmm. you know? Or is it that they're really trying to get business through the newspaper, and they've been doing that for 25, 30, 40 years, and they're expecting a result?
Maybe they had too much patience on the newspaper.
My point exactly. Too much patience.
Yeah.
But then we start changing our strategies, whatever it might be, and then we have lack of patience. And it takes patience and everything, that we put a little bit of effort into something and we think we should get it instant gratification, immediate results, and mm-hmm. that's not the way it works. So don't get, you know, faked into following somebody on Instagram or following them on Facebook or watching them on TV or in a video and thinking that they just had that success overnight. There's mm-hmm. the one guy on YouTube that, you know, Dan said, hey, check this guy's video out. And I'm watching his videos.
I feel like Dan's like the honorary member of our show that nobody hears or sees, but hears his name. So he's like Elusive Dan.
Well, we should set Dan up like that. What was that Tim Allen show where the guy was always...
Oh, was it Wilson? He was behind the fence?
Know, yes, that's our Dan. He's behind the fence.
So he's our guy behind the scenes for video, for social media. So meet Dan, guys. There the guy go. Behind the fence.
Exactly. He's the guy behind the fence. So, but he introduced me to this guy. Well, I mean, not introduced me, but said, hey, check out his videos. And he's got 7 million followers. Mm-hmm. And so then I started looking at the videos, but he's been doing this for, 7 years. So it didn't happen overnight, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that think, oh, I'm going to do this and it's going to be overnight. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as overnight. And if you do get overnight success, just enjoy it while you have it because it's not going to last.
And try and pay some attention to what you can do to build upon it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't just think that one thing that got you overnight success is going to keep your success.
Right. I mean, look at Pokemon. I mean, Pokemon came on like the vengeance. Remember? Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, that was last year, I guess? Or
Mean Pokemon Go, I'm thinking like Pokemon back from the 90s.
Yeah. So, well, back from the 90s that they had some popularity and then they came on and then we were trying to do whatever with our clients for Pokemon. And that lasted, I mean, all of
hot little minute.
2 weeks, yeah. Maybe. And then it's gone. Now you don't hear anything about
it. But businesses had some overnight success with it because they found out how to capitalize on it early. And if they are smart, like I can tell you, there are tons of restaurants that did different things to attract business to their location based on that game. Now, if you can find a way to retain those people that now walked through your door, they're the ones that are not just capitalizing, but continuing that overnight success.
Right. So there you go. And then, so patience can play two different ways. Do you have too much patience?
Yep.
Because maybe you're still trying to use Pokemon, but no one's downloading the app. And, or maybe maybe your patience was like, I'm not going to do it, whatever it is. So,
yeah. I think you also have to make sure that, you know, depending on what you're having patience with, whether it's a provider or your business, you know, if you're creating.
What about an employee?
Or an employee.
Yeah. I think oftentimes business owners will have too much patience with employees.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, from a management perspective, you a lot of the times know what you've invested in that person. Like we've talked about that before, that cost associated that you keep trying to want to make it work out.
And maybe you keep on trying to move them around in the company and find the ideal spot, but mm-hmm. you realize, I mean, what's happening by having that much patience with the employee, moving them around, the other employees are seeing what's happening, and that could be a sign of weakness. Mm-hmm. So now you've got a lot of employees that are causing you trouble But then it could be the other way. Maybe you don't have enough patients and someone, you have an employee and they learn in a different mm-hmm. way than you do or people that you know, and you have lack of patience and now you're showing disrespect to them.
So. Well, from a management perspective, there's so much you have to look at in that because it's not singular in any capacity. You have to look at what you're doing, what they're doing, and then the decisions that you're both making and figure out what it is.
So there's a lot of things with patience. And I mean, patience doesn't just apply to business, but it also personal life. I mean, when's the last time that you called some company mm-hmm. and you were wanting to get something and you couldn't get something and you just lost your patience with that person? And have you ever done that?
I'm staring at you and kind of laughing to myself because I think with this world of instant gratification, 2-day shipping.
Yep.
You know, I was planning on doing something the other night and got an email the day before saying, oh, your order was damaged in transit. Nobody's fault, except for probably whomever's throwing the boxes around. And mm-hmm. I was so frustrated because I was like, oh, now everything is all thrown off. We're not going to be able to do what we want to do. I don't have this. So you have that frustration. And unfortunately, you try and not take it out on who you talk to on the phone, but you want that immediate resolution. Like, can you get it to me in an hour? There's no physical way that can happen.
Well, you say unfortunately, but yesterday I was at a restaurant mm-hmm. and the restaurant was, they were having some difficulties. And there was this one woman, well, there was more than one person, that was giving the waitress all kinds of trouble and was just, she was rude. She was nasty. And I'm thinking, where's that getting you, woman? That's not getting you anywhere. And then the waitress was, you know, at my table, and I treated her with the utmost respect. I mm-hmm. was nice. I was understanding. It was fine. You know what? No one's going to die.
No.
It's not a big deal. Be respectful. Treat people the way you want to treat them. Mm-hmm. And my dining experience was much better than the woman that had the bad attitude that lost her patience.
Her service was probably a lot more worse than it was to begin with because, you know, you get what you do.
Well, I also think about that, too. If you're the type of personality that you get all upset and all tied into knots, think about what that's doing to your heart rate. Think about what it's doing to your body. And, you know, to your mind.
In the grand scheme of things, how does it really fall into everything else that life has to offer you and you're doing and you're involved in? Like, it's just a little blimp on the map.
Yeah, exactly. It's only temporary.
You know.
And, you know, be nice, be respectful. You never know when you'll meet that person again, but why try to make their life difficult? There's no reason. I mean, and even if it is blatant laziness or just blatant disrespect, don't get your blood pressure up. Just move on.
And if you feel like you need to deal with it, there's a respectful way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So
in every situation, every facet of life, I think you've pointed out, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 different ways that we need to be patient all around.
Yeah. And I mean, it amazes me. But that frustrates me. Like when I go to a restaurant and somebody's rude, it's just so frustrating. So.
Well, respect is a key part of life.
Exactly. All right, Samantha. So we've been talking patience and you know me, squirrel. That all different directions, but I think that's critically important that you have patience in everything you do, because if you're changing, if you don't have patience, and I'm sure you have some stats. You have some stats, don't you?
I do actually.
So I want you to share the stats. I think this is important because you're wasting money, you're stressing yourself out, you're stressing your employees out, mm-hmm. you're stressing your family out. You're just not moving forward. I mean, again, like, Facebook. We think Facebook was an overnight success, and it wasn't, and it's not, and it's a building process. So give me, drop some knowledge on me.
Okay. So one, you mentioned earlier, and this kind of clicked with me, you were like, sometimes you have too much patience or not enough. You have to identify what kind of business, if you're a business owner, you have, and does it meet a market need, right? So you have to fulfill a need, help solve a problem when you're going to market. So 42% of startups fail because they fail to meet a need within the market. So maybe you're having too much patience with the type of business you have because you're not meeting a need.
Right. So kind of thinking about that, you're not meeting a need. How can you find out if you're really meeting a need?
Well, I think this is interesting because I believe that this is one of the reasons that so many millennials, Gen Z, early adapters have been able to build businesses is because they're facing problems that generations in the past haven't been dealt with. And in addition to that, they're also finding opportunities to create solutions to potential problems.
All right, I'm going to throw a trick question in.
Okay.
Give me an example of one.
Uber. I think is a good example, or Lyft is a good example. So convenience, time is money, needing to be able to get around, not having a car in a metro area, accessibility and ease for purchase and transactions. And honestly, being there at a time of need is something that Uber and Lyft have been able to fulfill that traditional taxi services may not have had been able to capitalize on previously.
So there you go. So, all right, drop some more knowledge on me.
Okay. 74% of tech startups fail because they scale too fast. And that's actually a pretty high statistic across the board. So I kind of mentioned earlier, slow and steady wins the race. And it's something that a lot of people aren't thinking about. But prematurely scaling your business is the largest reason most people fail.
Yeah. And I mean, when I think about that over the years, you know, where we've had tremendous growth, that it was like, boy, how are we going to handle all this? And now we're just, you know, it was about 3 years, 4 years, about mm-hmm. four years ago that we were bringing clients on so fast, and it was trying to find the employees to manage and, I mean, quality control and all that. I mean, you kind of think about it, scale the way you can really scale. And if you're growing too fast, my number one piece of advice, are you ready?
What is it?
Raise your prices.
Consistently raise your prices. I think that's a big point.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The more clients you get, the longer your clients work with you. Don't be afraid to go back and ask.
Yeah, raise your prices, and it will generally create a slower pace unless it's like a Vallabon effect. It might make it grow even faster just because people want what they feel like they can't have.
Well, and then you create a process that instills patience but creates communication with those individuals, so they're still on the hook.
Right.
They're just not on the, you know, on the books yet.
Yeah. And well, and if you're increasing your prices, it means that you can put money into training.
Mm-hmm. Which and you can develop and you can have patience with your team growing because you can afford more people.
Yeah, exactly. And most businesses fail with training that they don't train.
So what else with patience? Any other knowledge bombs you want to drop before maybe we move on to another? Because I have a good tip I want to give out today before we...
Patience. What else can I give about patience?
I liked what you said about, I think this is important from a management perspective. Decide if you have too little or too much patience with your team, reflect internally, and then also reflect on their actions. I think that's a good thing for anybody listening.
Yeah. And if, you know, and you're like trying to say, well, how do I know if I'm having enough patience? That's always the biggest thing. The way you can find out if you have enough patience, just go to our website, paulpotratz.com. There you go. Shameless plug, but not really. But go to our website and just schedule a consulting call and let me hear about, you know, why do you think you've had too little or too much? And I'm pretty good at saying, you know, what you need to do.
And that's what we're here for. So in our day in, day out business, we work with businesses of all different shapes, sizes for numerous different projects, whether it be fulfilling their advertising needs, marketing campaigns, or consulting to help identify how your business can grow and give you an outside perspective. So to discuss that with us, find us at paulpotratz.com, give us a call at 855-POTRATZ, or find Paul at Paul Potratz on Facebook. But let's give one opportunity for our audience to be able to build their influencers, build their network this week. Do you have any idea what platform would be a good recommendation? It's one that you love. I feel like you talk about it every single week. And I said to Dan, the guy behind the fence, we're going to not talk about this platform anymore. And then here I go giving five tips for it.
Well, I like Instagram because I just feel like that there's too much noise on Facebook and Instagram calms me.
Okay. Instagram calms you. That's a new one.
Yeah. Well, it does. I mean, it's pictures. There's some pretty pictures and, you know, a little bit of advertising in there. And, you know, I don't have to deal with all the political nonsense. And
it
stuff.
Is what you make it.
Yeah, it really is. So, and it's kind of hard to start talking about political stuff on Instagram. So
I think for everybody listening, there's a really good, and I have 2 minutes to say this, so I'm going to talk Samantha fast.
All right, go. I'm going to be quiet.
Okay. So there's a really great opportunity to utilize Instagram to grow your business, prospect, and find new opportunities. So you can use Direct Messenger. Do you use it at all?
Yes.
So I think it's a great tool in connecting, whether you're an individual in an existing company, just looking to build your network. If you're a manager looking to prospect team members, even because knowing what's going on social media is important, or a business owner, or like one of our callers for the business breakdown is going to be is a real estate agent. So how you prospect potential customers. So what you can do on Instagram, and this is going to be on paulpotratz.com, so don't worry about finding a pen to write this down, is you can search hashtags. So can you think of a hashtag maybe you've searched lately, Paul?
Oh, I can think of a lot of them, really, actually.
So if you were a business owner looking to prospect potential customers and connections, you could search related hashtags to your business. And then take a look at the individual's accounts that you're finding who are using that hashtag and think to yourself, how can I bring them value and how can I connect with them for their business? Then what you can use is Direct Messenger to establish a relationship with them. But keep this in mind. Direct Messenger is what? A soft sell.
Yes.
It is not a, hey, come buy this product. I saw you use my hashtag.
Right. Exactly.
So make a soft sell conversation. So you want to think about using words like or end, and it's a give and a take. So always give value before you ever ask for anything. And that's one thing to live by on a lot of social media platforms.
You know what I think though here, real quick, I know you're out of time, but we're talking about hashtags and we're direct message and Instagram. And I have to think, well, I know that there's a lot of people like, what is a hashtag even? So I think share this, but I think you've got to.
Well, go to paulpotretz.com and we will start from A and go to Z and then give you all of these five steps you can use, but explain all of those little nuances of the platform we're talking about.
And I think you have to do a video this week talking about this on your on Hard Facts and get it on the website.
Okay. We'll do that when we get back.
Good.
Okay. So check out that video too. We'll pop it on the page that has this week's episode. And then also repeat. So that's step number five. We can't just do it once and hope that there's success, because with everything, we have to have patience.
Yes.
So repeat it and then you will find success. Success in creating connections and establishing additional opportunities.
And you think about the book, I forget, Malcolm Gladwell, I believe, and he said to become good at something, you have to do it for 10,000 hours. That sounds like that takes a lot of patience.
A lot of patience. So that's it for this half hour on the Paul Potretz Show. Stay tuned for a quick break on the news, and we'll be back with the Business Breakdown.
It's time for the Business Breakdown.
The 7-minute on-air consultation for you.
Call now for your free business consultation with Paul and Samantha. 1-855-POTRATS.
That's 1-855-768-7289.
Now, let's break it down.
So welcome back, and we're starting another week of the Business Breakdown. And on the line with us, we have Mark. Mark, how are you doing today?
Fantastic, but I'm getting better.
Oh, that is great to hear. We actually started the conversation on Facebook with you, and you commented on one of our threads, and we said, why don't we take this conversation over to the Business Breakdown? So I'm excited you were able to call us in this morning.
My pleasure.
So what was your question that you posed to Paul on Facebook?
Basically, I wanted to know what he finds most challenging or frustrating when working with car dealers on marketing and advertising programs.
Ooh, I think that's an interesting question. It's probably something we can extend to all management in a lot of aspects.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, thanks for the call, Mark. Boy, frustration. What I really kind of try to always do, and it's like Samantha said, I mean, it's really all industries. I mean, we've worked with a number of industries over the years. And, you know, I to really start that out, you think about it, you get so frustrated and you just say, oh, man, I want to baby shake them. You know, that, and when I say them, I'm talking about clients. Mm-hmm. But then you just have to sit back for a moment and just kind of think about it. Why are we having so much frustration, so much difficulty? And I think what it is a lot of times us as humans, fear always holds us back. And we've been doing something the same way for years, over and over and over and over.
Right.
And it's, you know, has it worked? Has it not worked? We don't know. We don't really, you know, pay attention to it. I mean, we could be talking about a diet program or whatever.
They're comfortable. They're in a comfort zone.
Exactly. And I mean, with comfort, and, you know, and I've definitely had clients over the years that it wasn't necessarily a comfort zone, but it was just a fear. Is what it was. It just held them back. It was a fear. And it's not just business owners. I mean, it's us as humans that fear. Yeah, just fear holds us back. Or, you know, we just don't value it enough. I mean, it could be a number of things that can hold it, you know, hold us back. But, you know, every time you do that, you just kind of have to say, you know, and I think what it is it's like being a manager too. I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but what I always do when I'm working with a client, and we need the staff, because, you know, a lot of times it really goes down, the root of it is the staff, that we can't get the staff to do the things that we need them to do. And a lot of times what we're doing is we go in as a manager and we just try to, you know, basically boss and manage. And we tell everybody, sorry, you have to do this. You have to do this. And us all being, children and I mean that in a positive way.
Right.
You know, that, you know, our mom and dad would say, do this, and we're like, oh, I ain't doing that, you
eat
know.
Eat your vegetables.
Yeah, right? Eat your vegetables, clean your plate, whatever it might be. So as a manager, you've got to figure out how to make it, you know, their idea.
And so you're probably asking that question because it's stemming from somewhere. So what's a situation that maybe you've had a frustration, and how have you overcome that? Or what's an opportunity to maybe work together in overcoming that?
Well, what I've seen often is that, you know, clients, dealers don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And in the auto business, they're very risk averse, like Paul said. So you need to slowly educate them and start with the baby steps. You're not asking them to throw things out. It's like the beginning when the internet came along, dealers were scared to death of the internet. And now they've recognized it's not the enemy, it's just another conduit to reach your customers. So you sort of educate them slowly to say, here's what's going on. Like if you're talking about, we work with clients for reputation. And dealers, believe it or not, some dealers don't have a good reputation out there.
Yeah, and you kind of think about it too. Of why is that? I mean, you know, a lot of business owners right now are really stuck on that they need to be doing paid search, they need to be doing Google, but, you know, that type of advertising is 14 years old.
Correct. Exactly right. And I tell them, you've got to have a combination. You've got to do the engagement marketing. What's your message? And how's your message going to be different from what your competition is saying? Because when I see these TV commercials for the car companies, the people could be in any car. It's very generic. There's nothing specific. You know, it's being seen as a commodity. And these dealers, you know, just talking about price, Mr. Dealer, you complain about not holding any gross profit, but all you're doing is focusing on a low price. Talk about changing the conversation. How is your messaging? How are you conveying that your dealership is different from the guy up the street? And that's where they sort of, you know, begrudgingly, well, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that, but we've got the best pricing.
Right. Well, here, I'll share a quick tip. One of the things that we do with our clients, whenever, you know, that they feel like their employees are getting stuck or they're getting stuck, the first thing is to turn it around and show them the value of how it's going to help them save time, how it's going to save them money, how it's going to put more money in their bank account, make their job easier. That's one of the things. And then the thing that I learned many, many years ago is, for example, a lot of business owners struggle with trying to get salespeople that can handle internet leads. And, you know, they'll pick somebody that they say, hey, I think you're good on the internet, handle these leads. And I said, you know, don't ever do that. What you want that individual to do is to basically write a couple paragraphs of why they would be good at handling internet leads and let them work to be able to get that opportunity to handle internet leads versus you just trying to say, this is what you're doing. Find the right individual that really wants to do it and make them work for it before you hand it over to them. So
have them earn it. Exactly.
So the takeaway on this is fear normally holds us back. And I'm losing my voice today for some reason, but fear normally holds us back of the unknown. I think that's the biggest factor of why we, you know, get difficult with things and we get stubborn and we try to push back. It's just because of the fear. Are we going to spend money and it's not going to work? Does it really work? Does it really exist? I mean, so there's so many things that can stem, you know, that really drive that fear factor is what it is.
Right, exactly. And I try to convey them, Mr. Dealer, if this doesn't work, what's the worst that can happen?
We got to try something new.
Try something new. Yeah, you, Mr. Dealer, haven't you ever run some radio commercials that didn't bring anybody in the door? You
know? So I think that's a great point, Mark, is really challenge them and push them outside of their comfort zone. And that's something we've got to be doing as business owners ourselves, individuals within our business, and client-facing individuals. So thank you, Mark, so much for taking your conversation onto Facebook, as well as joining us on today's Business Breakdown. But that's all the time we have for your call. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks, Mark.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
So as we get into our next caller on the Business Breakdown, there are three ways that you can interact with us on the Paul Potrat Show. You can give us a call at 855-POTRATS. Again, that's 855-POTRATS, because we'd love to hear from you. Or you can join our conversation on Facebook, like many of today's callers in the Business Breakdown have done. Or visit us on paulpotrats.com, where you can send us an email, check out the free resources, and more. But what I can see on the call screen is we have Frank giving us a call. And Frank, you started our conversation on Facebook as well, like many of the other Business Breakdown callers, but you have one unique thing. You are calling us from Western Asia. Is that correct?
Hello, good morning there. Yes, I am calling from the Middle East, exactly from Doha, Qatar.
Wow, well, thank you for making the call this morning. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm doing really, really, really great.
Well, that's fabulous to hear. And like I mentioned, you started our conversation on Facebook and you asked Paul a question. What was that question?
I said, how about influencers from other parts of the world? So that basically, I think, made the conversation running around. So some of your guys called me up, messaged me on Facebook. I think it's Dan. And I think I'm pretty well sure that social media's caught on like wildfire.
Oh, you took the words out of my mouth there. I was going to say that. I was going to fill your blank with wildfire. So we are on the same page. Social media, 100%. Now, are you utilizing social media for your business, or are you a social media influencer?
I'm utilizing social media for my business, and like right now, I definitely made it as 100% commitment to be a digital influencer in this part of the world.
Fabulous. So we're asking Paul what he thinks about that, maybe how to other further leverage that. Let's build on that question a little bit. What are you really wanting to know?
Yeah, it's because most of the times we see digital media and social media for that matter in specific parts of the world. But like right now in this part of the world where it's we have this kind of a notion in this part of the world that it's kind of like how do you say this? There's sort of a something like in the mouth of the dogs, you know, something like that. When you have that kind of thing. But to be honest, social media here is also very, very big. That's why I was asking what would be your advice to people who are just like me, a couple of months, who have embraced social media, specifically in this part of the world, this region, wherein.
So how to maybe build your social media outside of your existing region and then even further capitalize on it a little bit more?
Of course. And then, of course, I'm not a local within the region. I'm from East Asia and I'm working in Middle East. So, you know, there's a conundrum there.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many different ways we can go with this. And thanks for your question, by the way. But
thanks, Paul. Yes.
I think the point just goes to show that, you know, a few days ago, I posted on my profile page, on my personal profile page, you know, ask a question, ask me anything type deal. And you asked a question. And it's just, I think it's fascinating how you and I are connected and we're so far apart, but now we're connected and we're actually having a conversation.
And I mean, you're right.
And that just right there, I mean, it wasn't that many years ago, if we really think about it, if we just think about, you know, 10 years ago, which is really, it's a long time, but it's not a long time, that we would have never really had that opportunity unless I was on a plane, flew over there, and just by chance happened to meet you, or vice versa. So, you know, and I think what's the big, big takeaway on this too for business owners is, you know, so many times they'll say, well, how's that going to help me? I'm selling locally. And you're saying you need to reach out farther. And even if you are selling locally, I mean, you think about it, how can, you know, by using social media and you get the opportunity to meet people all over the world, but then you also have an opportunity to build your brand, build your identity in a local market too. And I mean, a number of individuals used to do this years ago. And I mean, individuals, and I know some people that still do this, but the interesting twist, what I mean by they still do this, is they've built a name, people in their community, and it could be a community of a million people, but that community, and I mean, when I say community, like, you know, in the, like where I live in, you know, upstate New York and, you know, Albany, Schenectady, Troy, New York, that there's individuals, I mean, we're talking a few million people in this area, but there's individuals that if you were to say their name, you would know who they are, but they've done that on a traditional means.
Yes.
And it's taken a lot of time, a lot of years, a lot of money, a lot of times to be able to.
7 years.
Yeah. To do that reach. And, you know, something that I struggle with on social media and that I'm trying to get better with, and, you know, we're Dan, you talk to Dan, and Dan's been telling me that I need to be more open with my life. I need to start sharing more. You know, what am I doing on the weekends? What am I doing in the evening? You know, what are my hobbies? What are my interests? And I mean, I do a little bit of that, but I think that's a takeaway to everybody. I think that's something that, you know, you should really look into also, too, is how do we document more of our life, whether it's in video and whether it's in pictures, because that's those individuals that have that local, you know, influence on a local market that, you know, it's Thursday nights, they're going out and they're having drinks, they're going, you know, their son's soccer game, so on and so forth.
And
so,
I think you make a really good point with your question, though, is we think of being in our region as where our social media footprint should be, but really you could find an up-and-coming social media market and up-and-coming opportunity within the industry represent. And don't let geography landlock you, like literally, because with social media, you have the opportunity to be really impactful in different communities, different locations. And it's okay if it takes you a little bit of time to physically get there, but you develop that audience and then, you know, they'll be paying you to go there kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right. For this matter is that you have to be open, well, part of at least of yourself, to be open to everyone to see. Like, it for me as a filmmaker right now, I started my own YouTube channel a couple of months back. It's challenging, to say the least, to run through your business and then afterwards make another episode for your viewers, for your followers, mm-hmm. and then you have to make another episode 2 weeks after. So keeping the schedule and keeping the content fresh is like really challenging, even I as a filmmaker myself.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, you, Paul, mentioned Dan, who's one of our gurus, I would say our social media gurus in the office. And he says that the easiest way to do that is just use the content around you, use other people, use what you're doing on the weekends, what you do when you go home from work, because you're creating a story, but it's a little bit more fluid than that work that you have to go do, especially as a filmmaker. It's probably even a little bit more difficult to get outside of that polished content you're putting out there.
And kind of keep in mind,
you're right. Yeah.
Like what Sam and I are doing right now, we're in the studio, we're recording, we have a GoPro, it's mounted right here, that's shooting the video. So what we're doing is we're creating content, we're creating a video so people can see us behind the scenes doing the radio show, and we'll be able to use that content. So think about that, selling your byproduct.
So Frank, I thank you so much for giving us a call today, and I actually want to challenge you to not put out all polished content. I think if you focus on that, that'll give you some content to put out, make it a little bit easier for your business, and be that social influencer you're looking to grow.
Right.
So thanks.
I thank you too for giving me the opportunity to speak. Everyone, you know, promote at least myself being on the interview, being on the radio show.
And Frank, what's your YouTube channel so people can check that out?
My YouTube channel is The Expat Gent, all across social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And I also have my own Facebook page. My main line of business is Frank Dizon Films. It's FrankDizon Films.
Great.
All social media platforms. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Frank. We'll check that out, and I hope our
listeners
do too. Have a great day.
Have a great day ahead to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So we're going to get into our third caller of the business breakdown, but if you didn't get a chance to call in, it's not too late. All you need to do is call 855-POTRATZ, that's 855-POTRATZ, and leave us a voicemail with your question or find us on Facebook at Paul Potratz and leave us a question there and we'll reach out to you to be featured on an upcoming episode of the Business Breakdown. But for now, we're going to jump into our third caller. Taven, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling in, and let us know what your question is for Paul this morning.
So I work in real estate in Nashville, Tennessee, and, you know, habits are a big thing, and having good habits to find, you know, fulfillment in life is something that I really strive for and work towards all the time. So my question for him was, you know, what are the top three bad habits that hold people back from finding fulfillment in life and business?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's going deep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Taven, thanks for calling. So, boy, three. I only get three, though, right?
Only three. Let's just talk about three.
Oh, boy. So I got to make sure that they're the top ones. Boy, the most important, the most critical ones. But before I give you my three, what's driving this question for you?
So building good habits is key for finding a way to operate and function efficiently. And if I'm operating and functioning efficiently day to day, then that means that I'm going to have more time. If I have more time, then I can use that time to find more fulfillment in life. So, you know, I want to know what your perspective is on, you know, what bad habits people generally have that hold them back from finding that fulfillment, or the bad habits that hold them back from having the time to invest in other areas of their life to find more fulfillment.
Right. So where right now, where you're doing real estate and you're trying to find more fulfillment, what do you think's holding you back? Because I can give you my three questions, but I would rather try to understand maybe, you know, my three steps, my three tactics might be completely different than yours, completely different than Samantha's. And I know they're completely different than Samantha's. So Samantha's smirking now. But anyway, so what do you feel is holding you back right now from, you know, really achieving that fulfillment?
I would say, you know, the number one thing in real estate and in a lot of business is time management. Mm-hmm. You know, bad habits that revolve around time management would be number one for me.
Okay. So every evening, because time management is definitely in my top three, and I know that that's one that I struggle with, but every evening, do you sit down and make your plan of what am I going to do for the next day?
I actually do.
Okay, you do.
And yes, sir. And I review the day, and I look for one takeaway from every day, and I journal it.
Good. There you go. Another journaler.
But question for that is then, have you ever even, you have your plan for the next day as you're going through the next day. So let's say we're planning for Friday today, or Monday today. If you're going through Monday, are you writing down what you're actually doing? And the reason I pose this question is because little things like 5 minutes here on social media, 10 minutes there on social media can really add up. And they're the little things we don't identify that we're doing that are capitalizing, because you're basically saying, you know, time is money and I need more of it. So have you done that? Because I did that a while back. I am a paper person 100%. Mm-hmm. Much like yourself, probably, if you're a planner. And I just listed it all out compared to what I said I had to do, because my tasks are always different than maybe the execution of them.
The execution of them. That's interesting. So what I generally do is the day before, I block schedule each day. You have to. There's so many different places for you to put your time and energy in real estate. So you really have to block schedule your days if you want to be efficient and effective. I identify three wins. I identify a big win. If I can achieve this, this is my stretch. This is my big win. Then I identify, my middle of the road. You know, this is like my medium, and then a small win. That's generally what I do. Now, planning the execution of each win, I don't do that. And that would probably be really beneficial if I actually plan, you know, the steps of what I'm going to do to achieve those goals.
And you may be able to find efficiencies in that too, right? So if there's overlap between them, how can you do that collectively so that way you're becoming more efficient with your time as well? So I would challenge you maybe to think about how you can look at the execution of them, and then also how you can, you know, for lack of a better thing, to call it time track, and see where you're spending your time that maybe isn't as efficient as you think it is for benefiting your growth and business and personal fulfillment.
So what I could do, what my takeaway on this is, you know, what I could do is build the habit of making sure that I do that, add that into my nightly routine, and it'll actually slowly but surely, it won't probably, will I see drastic changes in the early phases of this, or do you think it's going to take some time for me to really see the changes? Is it going to be like a slow turn?
I think it's going to be quick, just because that way, because sometimes you have tasks you can't get done in one sitting, but it will allow you to see that you're making progress, and then it gets you excited to make sure that you get back to it the following day, that evening, whatever it might be, the following week. So your progress would be quick. And then here's another thing too, that, you know, that hold business owners back. And we talk about time management, but the next part is, are we doing the right things that's going to help propel our business? Because so many times we get tied up and, you know, we'll sit around and have conversations with someone thinking it's going to lead to something. And I'm not saying you be snobby, but are you really talking to the right person? I mean, that's just an example. Are you taking phone calls from the right people? So, I mean, again, not to be snobby, but are you doing the things that's going to give you the end result? End result meaning that you're going to make more money so you can provide for your family, or it's going to move you further down the road. Because you can't always be chasing the dollar. If you're always chasing the dollar, then you're never going to reach your full potential.
Okay, I like that. And that actually was going to be my number two is, you know, building good habits that lead me into the circles of people. You know, what can I do to end up around the right people? What are habits that I can build into myself or places that I can go to meet the right people?
Pick what your hobbies are, what you really enjoy, what your interests are. For example, mine are autos. And so I'm part of, the Saratoga Auto Museum. You know, I'm getting involved with Hemming. So pick the things that you enjoy so you'll be passionate about it, get involved in it, and volunteer to take more work on with those nonprofits or whatever they might be, and you'll meet the right people.
Okay. So basically being able, for me, I need to build the habit of, like, scheduling myself time to go to these events, you know, because I'm also an auto guy. I love the automotive, anything automotive. I'm an enthusiast of high performance vehicles, but scheduling the time to go and network in those environments is something that I probably need to build into my routine.
Right, and you can do it in the evening because then it's not really work, it's enjoyment, but it really is, it's going to help you achieve your goal.
And so I think those are two fabulous takeaways. We've actually gone way over time for this part of our business breakdown segment. Teevan, I think this is a great question, and I think we can even expand upon it more on Facebook and continue our conversation there. So look for a message from Paul, and we'll continue that maybe third bullet point we haven't gotten to today. But thank you for your call into the business breakdown, and I look forward to continuing the conversation online.
Thanks, Teevan. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So we had some great calls on the business breakdown today, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So one thing to keep in mind is we are here to help in any way, shape, or form. You can head over to the paulpotratz.com website and find a number of different resources available. But if you have a question or need a resource that isn't there, feel free to comment on Facebook, send us an email, or give us a call at 855-POTRATZ, where we'd be happy to help, because what we do in our daily business is consult and help businesses grow. And we're here to do the same for you. So again, that number is 855-POTRATZ. So we got really chatty today, Paul.
I know. Well, that's just, I'm in that mode today. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Well, you've been on the phone all week, I guess. So that's kind of gotten you in the flow, huh?
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. And I spent too much time in the car on the way here alone. So that's what it was, without the phone.
So final thoughts. Let's wrap up today's episode. We talked about a few things that I think are really important to our audience, and we had some great calls in the business breakdown. Let's continue that conversation online. What do you think?
I think we definitely need to, because here's my goal for the upcoming week. My goal is to start sharing more on Facebook. I mean, I'm Instagram. Well, Facebook and Instagram is what I'm going to start sharing more. So what I mean by that is I'm going to try to replicate the way I built relationships years ago, face to face, when I would go to different mixers and everything. And I want to do the same thing on social. And you already do a pretty good job of that. I see you've already brought the garden in, and I've got my pepper jam from you. So I'm happy. So I think that's what we have to do. And everyone else, let's start creating connections through social media by sharing who we are.
I love it.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It does. I think we have to show both our personal and professional life.
Yeah, because I think what we try to do socially is we try to, oh, I'm not going to show that picture. It's not any good. Oh, I'm not going to do that video, or I'm not going to do this, or I don't want to be on camera, or I'm look sloppy, or whatever. You just got to go. You just got to do it.
And so, have patience, because it'll build and get you more followers.
There you go.
So this week on the Paul Pochette Show, if you haven't guessed, we talked about patience. We talked about how you can use direct messenger on Instagram to build your business. And we had some great calls that took longer than 7 minutes on the business breakdown. But give us a call and we'll feature you next week on the business breakdown. You can now listen to the Paul Pochette Show on demand at paulpochettz.com. It's a great place to find resources for your business, whether you're a business owner, manager, or individual just looking to grow your career. So visit us at paulpochettz.com. Click on the radio show tab. You can listen to all past episodes, as well as see all of the resources that we have available to you. We look forward to continuing this conversation on Facebook throughout the week, but see you next Sunday.
You've been listening to The Paul Pochette Show. Paul is the architect behind Pochette's Advertising, an international consulting and advertising agency based in Schenectady, New York.
For more info or to learn how to work with Paul and the Pochette's team to grow your business and improve your processes, visit paulpochettz.com. That's Paul, P-O-T-R-A-T-Z.com.
And join Paul and Samantha next Sunday morning at 11, right here on WGY.